those circumstances, you know, win by one goal and to score the winning goal. It's just incredible.
Welsh netball is in a really strong position at the moment, and it's a real privilege for me to be able to captain both the Celtic Dragons and the Welsh national team. For Scotland, it really just solidified the progression that we've made as a country on the world stage.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show with Viper 10.
Welcome to The Netball Show, I'm Sasha Shipway. This week we'll be covering the latest Super League announcements. We'll hear from Georgia Lees as she moves to Benacos Mavericks for 2019. England Netball's Helen Wynn talks to us about Back to Netball's 10th birthday next month. And Grangetown's Jill Williams tells us about her appearance as part of a BBC documentary.
Hi, I'm Andy, and if you're wondering where Nat is, she's been that good. And as a special treat for International Podcast Day, she's got a podcast of her very own this week. So remember to hear her chat with Kate about NetFit after you've listened to this. Right, online at thenetballshow.co.uk, there's the news that Chloe Yessam has joined Wasps from Lightning. Vicky Olasola is staying at Lightning, and Jess Shaw has also joined the side for 2019, and we'll hopefully be hearing from her next week.
Summer Artman and Layla Thomas have joined Team Bath. Jess Thirlby, Team Bath's head coach, told us what they'll bring to her side for next season.
Summer, you know, she was Bristol born and bred, and I remember 5 years ago now, again, we've been joking recently. I'm getting old because I do a lot of reminiscing, but I remember again...
Oh, sorry, is this where I say no way?
I remember the conversations with Summer when she was... within our MPL setup, and we'd introduced her and allowed her the chance to kind of train in and amongst the Super League setup as clearly quite a young athlete, both in terms of training age and chronological age. And she's graduated into that England Roses program, and she herself will say that she's got a lot still left to learn. And I think we can provide that support for her, and it's just great to be able to obviously have somebody of that caliber come in, you know, in the midst, and with Layla departing, it was important that we looked to strengthen up that defensive unit. And I mean, Layla Thomas was, we had early conversations with Layla, and I think over the last couple of seasons you've seen that she's had some court time with Celtic Dragons, and I think it goes without saying, again, for such a young player, she's got a fantastic attitude. She always stood out to us as a defender that can win ball and across most of the back three positions. So I think that always showed great promise, and it aligns really well with us. I appreciate that, you know, her biggest loyalty in terms of nationally will be with the Welsh team. But for us, it's just about enabling some of these younger players to actually reach potential. And I'm really excited about what Layla can do. She's been brilliant in our training environment and slotted in great, and is a great character to have around. And yeah, I have no doubts that they're, you know, alongside people like Ebony, it's a quite exciting unit to continue to work with, just despite the loss of Layla's.
Meghan Markle displayed some royal skills as she took to the court in heels when she visited Loughborough University earlier in the week.
And Dragons have confirmed that Susie Drain, Chelsea Lewis, Bethan Dyke and Kyra Jones are some of the names who'll be returning for their team next season.
There's still lots going on daily, so remember to check at The Netball Show on Twitter and send us your information from your club at thenetballshow.co.uk.
I think the first thing that stands out for me about wearing Viper 10 kit is just the feel of it. It's so comfortable. Since the brand's come around, I think I've still got the same hoodie from about 5 years ago, and it fits so well. The colour remains, and I think that's one of the most important things, particularly with sportswear brands nowadays. You're wearing them day in, day out. People love living in their active wear, and the fact that this active wear looks good, it feels good, it's just great to wear.
We start this week with the news that Georgia Lees has swapped the duck egg blue of Surrey Storm for black and purple of Benacos Mavericks next season. She's been a fan favourite since the franchise started, and she's been telling Andy about the difficult decision to change teams.
Georgia, in our past chats, I don't think we've ever looked at that factor of travelling back and forwards to training and home is, so... As a player, what kind of effect does that have on you?
It's a real big commitment to have. You know, I travelled from Essex to Surrey for the past couple of years, and actually it kind of becomes the normal. Like when people ask me, oh my God, you're driving to Surrey tonight after work. I'm like, yeah, it's just a normal thing to do. But actually you do get to a point in the season and you are exhausted, and it is the travelling that is such a burden on your training, just because you're not training to your full capacity, just because you are tired, especially when the season gets going. And it's not just the travelling to training, it's the travelling to away games as well. I mean, yeah, it's really, really hard. But, you know, you go there, you do it, the girls are great, the team's great, so it's all worthwhile.
Eventually it takes its toll then, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I have kind of got to a point this season where I'm quite looking forward to just really give more time to training, because I'm not spending 3 hours in a car, sort of round trip. So, you know, those 3 hours I can actually do something with. I can do my S&C, I can do my prehab mobility, individual based stuff. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to utilising that time a little bit more efficiently as well.
Being closer to the action and the team, obviously, you're going to be more mentally alert to some extent as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, the less time you spend in a car, the more time you can have at home preparing for a game. I quite like to just sort of keep myself to myself before games, just sort of focusing on the job that we've got to do. So that could become quite hard, you know, if you're driving and you're driving yourself to meet the coach, or if we're playing at home, you know, you're obviously focusing on other different things. So I'm really looking forward to that. And like I said, I'm just really looking forward to having a little bit more time to focus on my training and my individual based stuff, as well as the team based stuff as well.
How much of the fact that you're studying there play a part?
Yeah, huge. I mean, when I chose to go to University of Hertfordshire, obviously there are a few Super League teams around the area. So yeah, it's a massive part. My partner's also studying there as well. So in terms of lifestyle, it's just better for us. So, you know, you're quite selfish as an athlete, I suppose. So it's quite nice to actually take him into account as well. And, you know, I'm studying here. I can go to morning training sessions, S&C sessions, go do my lectures, and then on my lunch break, maybe do a little bit more, or be able to actually, you know, have some time for myself, for my studies, before then going out and training again in the evening. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to having that.
Tell me a little bit about the gap between the end of the season and when you start to look about the season ahead. Does your phone start to go? Do you get emails from other people trying to tempt you with a carrot saying, ooh, come and join us?
Yeah, well, for me this season, it was a really different one, the off-season. You know, I've either been sort of in the West London area where I went to university first of all, or I've lived in Essex. So for me, there's never really been any question to leave Surrey Storm, whereas this year I knew that my life was going to be completely different in terms of moving location. I knew sort of from, I would say, June time that I was going to be living in Hertfordshire and studying at the university. So yeah, you do start to think actually what's best for you sort of lifestyle wise. And this is actually the first off season that I've actually really had to think about, you know, what is going to be best for me next year. Mm. And can I actually do that commute and still give 100% to the team? And I just felt like for me, studying such an intense course, you know, I'm studying sort of 70 hours a week, being able to do that commute to Surrey, I just couldn't do it. It wouldn't be fair to the franchise, because I wouldn't be able to commit 100%. And it wouldn't really be fair to me in terms of my training and my development as well. So, yeah, I definitely started to have those conversations quite early on. And when Mavericks asked me to sign for them, I was more than happy to do so. They're a great team.
Easy to say you're a Storm Ledge. I've just given you that title, and I get the sense that you may be blushing a little bit, but you are a massive fan's fave.
Yeah, you know, I have played some of my best netball at Surrey Storm. I've had great experiences to be coached by some of the best coaches in the league, in England, I'd say. So, you know, the fans are great. You know, they stuck by us the past 2 years, where it has been a difficult 2 years, where we've gone through that transition. So, you know, I can't thank them enough for their loyalty, for their constant support. You know, always first on Twitter to tweet us well done, or, you know, really thought you had a good game, or, you know, you'll get it next time. So yeah, they are fantastic. And actually leaving Storm was actually quite a hard choice in terms of leaving the fans and leaving the team. We are a family, we do have that culture at Storm, so that was actually really hard to leave.
I seem to remember speaking at Tamsin once, and I ended up rattling a load of things where she'd achieved at Storm and with the franchise. So, top of my head, here goes. Nay, Tom Rez, that belief Tamsin had in you, those kind of things.
You know, for me, Tamsin was a massively influential part of my game. She took me from sort of a wing defence at the age of 18, 19, and really put in some hard work to turn me into sort of the mid-court wing attack player that I am today. And I can't thank her enough for that. The support team, so obviously Nay, Tom, that you mentioned, they were great. And actually that year when we won it the second time, that was fantastic because the culture that we had there, the team that we had there was just fantastic. It was a very, very special group of players and support staff. And I think for me, that's going to be my best memory from Surrey Storm. Yeah, definitely.
You know, Strange is the cat rat as well. So is the fact that she's director of netball just that little bit easier because you know how she demands and wants the best from everybody?
Yeah, you know, when we had cat coaches in that year where we won it, sort of 2016 I think it was, you know, I really liked her style of coaching, the input that she had, her relationship with the team. I thought it was fantastic. So, you know, when Mavericks asked me to sign, knowing that Kat, you know, was director of netball, she was sort of leading the helm as it is, then, you know, there was no second thoughts about my choice.
And the fact that it's Benicoss Mavs making no difference at all, nice little bit of friendly rivalry, but you'll thrive on that.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that's a team that I'm playing for now. And, you know, new team, new setup, new environment, new coaches, new players. And for me, that's really, really exciting because I haven't had that for sort of 8 years where, you know, I was at Surrey Storm coming up through their junior ranks into the Super League side. So, yeah, I'm just really, really excited to see what the next year brings.
You look good in duck egg. So a change of colours for the 2019 season. Have you done a photo shoot yet? How are you in purple?
No, not yet. We had some media stuff, just for sort of player announcements and things like that. And I actually laughed about this to some of the uni lot. I actually don't own anything purple. I had to go out and buy myself some purple training kit because everything in my sports wardrobe is duck egg blue. And I didn't actually realise that until now.
You'll be going into another season being part of Mizuno. What's their support meant to you?
Yeah, really good. Yeah, supported by Mizuno this year. I love their footwear, their trainers. I love the support that they give to athletes and teams. The fact, you know, that they are sponsoring Mavericks is fantastic. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to obviously working with them again. I may have to ask them for some purple training kit.
Fast Five's on its way in October. You've got to love that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm so excited for Fast Five. Last year, it was such a great event. Just a real good start to the season. Fitness-wise, it's a lot of running. but no, the atmosphere that there is, first time sort of out there playing as a team, although it's a different style of game. Yeah, and everyone's just really there to have fun. Obviously, you want to be there to win. But yeah, everyone's there just have a really good time. And the crowd are great. They get involved. The atmosphere is just fantastic.
Mavs last season, did they surprise you where they finished? Obviously you were still with Storm, but were you watching over your shoulder towards the end of the season because you were both after that fourth spot in the end?
Yeah, I suppose I was quite surprised actually. I thought last year they had an absolutely fantastic team. You know, I think they just had a few unlucky games, a few players injured at the wrong time. I mean, it's never a good time. But yeah, I think they were just really, really unlucky that they just missed out on top four last year.
You'll have heard some of the squad in the great plan. Lindsay, Sasha, George Fisher. So should Mavs fans be excited?
Yeah, I think they should definitely be excited. I mean, they've got that real blend of experienced players, younger players coming through the ranks, giving them some time on court, some really big names that they've signed this year. And I think Kat's done a fantastic job at signing over the off-season. And I think that goes a lot to say about the culture that they're creating at Mavericks. You know, and that's something that actually I'm really excited to be a part of and to actually build with over the next year or so.
I don't even ask you if you can give me a clue because she'll have me.
Yeah, she'll have me as well.
<I can't. laughs> Well, best of luck with it and speak soon, all right?
Perfect. Thanks, Andy.
The Mighty Redcoat has been shown on BBC Two and has featured Grangetown Netball Club, who are based in the North East. Geraldine Williams is the heart and soul of the club, and she told us her reaction to the programme since it was first broadcast.
Overwhelming, Andy. We've had a lot of positive comments about the club and the difference we make to young girls and their lives in our area. And I'm shocked, really, at how much interest there has been. So, really, overall, quite pleasing.
How about those phone calls of support? Has it been non-stop?
Oh, we've had great support. People you know, who identify what's needed in the area and want to make a difference, want to help make a difference, because clubs such as ours rely on volunteers, and you seem to ask the same people over and over and over for help. So when an outsider comes in and shows an interest and sparks some and feel it's great. And yeah, it has been quite relentless at the minute, but we know that will come to an end as the series does.
Give us some examples of people that have expressed an interest that have rang you up and said, oh, is there anything we can do?
Well, one lady came to visit us, which was really nice, because that's kind of where I'd like to see happen. I'd like people to come and see the club. We aren't just a typical sports club looking for funding. This is a family, community-based club. And this lady come down, and she's starting a scholarship now each year for the girls, the young girls under 16, who show promise in being an umpire or a coaching award. And her scholarship will pay for that, which will help these girls go into schools, coaching, get little part-time jobs, umpiring and things. So that's been massive and much needed.
Sponsorship in netball is still at a really early stage, but what about extra support from local businesses?
Well, this year we've had a few businesses come forward. People such as Dunbar Joinery, The Courtyard, to name, you know, a couple, have all come forward to sponsor this year, which are local lads. A lot of them know the boys' club where we play, our home ground. So that was really nice and different, because we've never had individual sponsors come in before. So it's something different, and it's took off, and it's give it that professional edge, and rightly so, given where we are in the country.
I mean, you'll know that we've lost Team Northumbria locally, but there is a still exceptional better talent in the North East.
Massively. Ourselves now, Prem 1, that's probably
to say the least
level of netball, yeah, in the North East. And a lot of the franchise players who played for Northumbria here. And then, you know, there's Oaksway as well, who have some really good players playing up there in the Hartlepool. So there's a lot of good in the North East that still needs to be recognised and helped along the way.
The good thing was as well about the programme, it showed the area in a good light.
It did, because I think people were expecting a bit of a benefits type of drama, which nobody wanted to see really. You know, you get sick of that. You get sick of being portrayed in that kind of light, where our family believe there's a lot of good in our area. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of good people. There's a lot of community spirit. And sometimes you can't measure that in terms of wealth. It's a different kind of healthy atmosphere. So I was glad it was portrayed the way it was, and I'm glad it got the response it did.
You're in Prem, obviously, at the minute as well. So tell us a bit more about that special group of players.
These group of girls who are playing Prem now for Grangetown are at the top of the game. They're fantastic athletes. They're professional in every sense of the word. Train hard, eat appropriately. Their lifestyle's all correct. You couldn't ask any more from them. Tomorrow, we'll be setting off on a long journey to London. And these girls will finish work today, get all prepared, have an early night, get on a minibus tomorrow, all them hours to play an hour's game on Sunday, to come all the way back to go to work Monday. Some of them have businesses, some of them have families. And that just shows the level of commitment and perseverance that we have there at the club, which, you know, for me, it's overwhelming. It's fantastic. Yeah.
And finally,
these girls also are great role models, Andy.
Well, that's the thing.
They set a standard, they set a level for girls to aspire to, and that, at the minute, is what's coming out of Grangetown Netball.
And like many teams around the country as well, you'll have a full under-12s, under-13s, that kind of thing. Tell us a bit more about them.
Yeah, we start at age 4, and they're called Tiggers, for obvious reasons. And it's a lovely little section, and they're leading to our primary section. So from there, we have 15 teams just in the primary section alone that play actively every week when the league's running up at Durham. In the summer, we make sure we take them to lots of tournaments and festivals around the country, which is team building, which is good for their social skills. And then it goes into the under-14s, who were 7th in the country at nationals last season. The under-16s made nationals. They were around about the 17th mark. And then we have regional teams, and then Prem. So there's a lot that comes out of that club, a lot.
It's fair to say you're the heart and soul of the club. Can thank you on their behalf. Is it still something you get a massive kick out of?
It is, yeah, and I think obviously it was always an ambition of ours to be a Prem 1 club, which is what we've achieved now. So where do you go from here now? Like, obviously we want to stay there, but even if we went to stay there, Andy, I've still achieved that now. It's a tick. But for me, the next step for me is to make our club, make netball in general more of a professional setup.
Well, it's definitely worth a watch on the iPlayer if you haven't seen it already. Next, Helen Wynne is from England Netball and is Back to Netball celebrates its 10th birthday next month. She's been telling us about how successful the programme has been.
An absolutely phenomenal success. We expect to see our 100,000th woman through the programme. So, yeah, not something that we would have predicted 10 years ago.
Give me some idea of the number of people that are taking part weekly.
So most weeks there are in the region of about 200 sessions happening across the country, and we suspect that it varies, you know, depending on time of year, but on average about 3,000 women take part in Back to Netball each week.
What kind of feedback have you got from some of the people taking part?
So the feedback is just brilliant. So we know that 98% would recommend it to their friends. They definitely keep on coming back. We know that the vast majority of them stay involved in the sport, be that, you know, usually as a player, and they stay with their group that they kind of get to know and stuff like that. They kind of almost are inspired by what Back to Netball has helped them achieve, that they want to do, you know, make that possible for other people. So there's lots of stories of women who are now level two coaches, and some of those people who have been participants as a Back to Netballer go on to be some of the best Back to Netball coaches that we have, because they just get what it's about. They get the tone, they get the ethos, and they're brilliant.
I suppose every week as well you'll hear little stories from elsewhere around the country, and you just think, yeah, this is why we're doing this.
Yeah, and Back to Netball is much more than just the sport. It is, you know, the stories are, you know, they send shivers down your spine. There's, you know, people who have used it to recover from kind of mental health challenges, perhaps a bit of postnatal depression, stuff like that, and they've used it as their outlet to have a bit of time for themselves. One of my favourite stories is a lady in Bristol who went along, was coerced into going along to Back to Netball, lost a shed load of weight, and then discovered a lump, and it, without the exercise, that may have been a very different story for her in terms of her prognosis. And then there's just some great stories where I was chatting to one lady a couple of weeks ago, and she has two children, a son and a daughter, and her son was really active and joining in lots of stuff at school, lots of sports clubs and what have you, but her daughter wasn't. And she recognised that she wasn't being a great role model, so she went along to Back to Netball just to be a role model to her daughter. So there are, you know, and they're the stories that are powerful. That's the impact that Back to Netball has alongside just, you know, growing the sport of netball, which obviously we all want to see happen.
From people involved as well with Back to Netball, do you hear about people that have set up regional leagues, extra clubs, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. So we know that what we actually try to do through Back to Netball is get people back to netball rather than back to a 10-week programme. So, you know, when we kind of facilitate the setting up of Back to Netball groups, that's always at the forefront. So we know that about 40% of Back to Netballers end up either joining a club or creating a club. And some people may have read recently, we've had an article on our website about one of the very first Back to Netball groups in Bedfordshire, and they're still going out. They're still playing in the Bedfordshire League. They've had like 14 babies between them, but they're still there, they're still playing netball, and yeah, they still really enjoy getting involved. But that it's all down to their very first kind of re-engagement with the sport in Back to Netball 10 years ago.
Did you see a bit of a spike after that gold medal?
We definitely did. We definitely saw a spike from every type of participant, from Back to Netballers, from walking netballers, from mums wanting their daughters to get involved. So, yeah, and I think it's the profile. You know, the profile of the gold medal put, like, shone a light on netball, and people all over the country were Googling, and we know we saw a 2,000% increase on our session finder, so people actively looking for places that they can play netball, and Back to Netball, I know, saw a surge of new people coming along.
How important is that WI partnership?
It's a walking netball partnership. Yeah, through walking netball, we're working with the WI, and that it's kind of what we're seeing with that is it's enabling us to take walking netball to a completely different audience. So rather than waiting first, don't think that netball is for them. We literally turn up at the WI meeting and show them that it is for them and it is relevant and it's perfectly accessible and they're having a great time. And yeah, it's brilliant. And I know a lot of them are eagerly buying World Cup tickets later this year. So they seem to be finding a love for netball, not just walking netball.
Back to netball. The important info about that party, and you'll be well in the midst of planning everything ready for the proper celebration?
Yeah, so we're celebrating, or the finale to our celebrations will be on the 10th of October, so the 10th of the 10th. And yeah, what we're looking to have is a whole series of sessions that it will be a very much a party-themed session. There'll be birthday cakes, there'll be cards, there'll be party games, you know, all that kind of stuff. Kind of connecting the different sessions. So there'll be about 40 of these sessions happening, or 40 of the party sessions happening across the country. And the plan is that we connect them so that the Back to Netball is in Newquay can see just how vast Back to Netball is, and it stretches all the way up to Newcastle. And so, yeah, there'll be a live link up at 2018, so 18 minutes past eight, to show the Back to Netballers just how big and how special. And it, you know, they are part of something that's really brilliant across the whole country, not just in their area.
It's certainly not too late to get involved ahead of the celebration.
Absolutely not. So if people want to still get involved, we would love to welcome them, whether they're a brand new Back to Netballer or someone who has benefited from being involved in the programme. We would love to celebrate, you know, the fantasticness that Back to Netball is with them. And yeah, if they head onto the session finder on the England Netball website, they should find the details of all the party sessions.
Are you on Twitter as well?
Yeah, I am on Twitter, and England Netball will be tweeting away about the birthday stuff throughout the next few weeks and hopefully building up to some great coverage on the 10th of October.
Hopefully you can join us next week as we hear from managers and players as we build up to this year's Fast Five at the Copper Box on the 13th of October. Tickets, if you're really quick, might still be available at fast5allstars.com.
There's also news from the next round of internationals taking place as we hear from some of the Roses and no doubt a player movement or two. At least Shani Layton and Kat Tuivasa will be in the country, and we can only hope to have heard from them by then.
Thanks for your support. Tell a friend before they tell you. Send us a review and we might even say hello.
I didn't really think it was ever going to happen for us, and to do it in those circumstances, you know, win by one goal and to score the winning goal. It's just incredible.
Welsh netball is in a really strong position at the moment, and it's a real privilege for me to be able to captain both the Celtic Dragons and the Welsh national team. For Scotland, it really just solidified the progression that we've made as a country on the world stage.
Hi, I'm Jeeva Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show with Viper 10.